developing a spirit of gratefulness or gratitude. Amen. We're studying gratefulness or gratitude and why it's important for us to be grateful for all the things that God has done for us, right? And tonight, I want to look at an angle here tonight. Boy, wait till you see this. It's powerful. If you need a handout, just raise your hand. We'll get you one. Amen. And so one of the things that we've been talking about in this study is that gratefulness is something that needs to be taught. I just believe it is. Last night in my class, I was talking about how far God has brought us, amen, as people. And yet it's amazing how far we are from where we need to be, right? You know, and I believe that there comes a time when we become comfortable. Thank you, ushers. Where we become a little comfortable with the blessings that God has given us, right? And so one of the things that we want to learn, we've been talking about, is what does gratitude look like and how does it play a part in your life and why is it so important, you know? And I think we've covered a lot, but I don't think we've exhausted it. But some of the questions here, if you look at week two, I want to go down to that first paragraph in week two. And it says right there, right under, here are the negative examples from Scripture, but right there in the paragraph under that, it says what? Somebody read that for me. Gratitude does what? All right. Right underneath, here are some examples from Scripture, right at the bottom. Gratitude does what? Gratitude shows, you got to go part two now. Part two. Yeah, there you go. Part two. Go ahead, Kai. Huh? Keep reading for me. Gratitude shows what? Emulate, right. All right, so gratitude is something we got to do what? We got to work at it, right? It doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come naturally because it's a temperament that comes with spiritual growth. So check this out. The more you grow, the more grateful you become. See, here's the thing. God knows what to give you. All right, so God will give you, God will trust you with something, right, at the beginning. But watch this. But if you stay the same and you do not grow spiritually, then you will always have just that one thing. You see, because the more you grow spiritually, the more grateful you become, because when you think about your life and you think about the situations you've been through and how God has delivered you and how God has blessed you, amen, the natural response is gratitude, right? So what we're saying here is gratitude shows character, amen? So I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 5 for me tonight. Hebrews chapter 5, let's go there. This is Bible study. So that means we got, if you need a Bible, raise your hand, we'll get you a Bible. Ushers, let's get some people some Bibles who need a Bible. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. Let's look at it together. All right. So it comes with spiritual growth, right? And as you grow more spiritually, the more grateful you are. Now, listen, you can look at your gratitude and tell where you are spiritually. My. Some people, they get their blessings and they forget. That means they haven't grown yet. Amen. They're still immature. They're still like baby on baby milk, right? And it's quite natural because watch this. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, he gives you a new life. Right? Not only does he give you a new life, but he gives you a new purpose. And with this new life and this new purpose, one of the things that he requires of us is that we grow. What do we grow to? We grow into spiritually mature people. right? And listen, the more you stay stagnated in your spiritual journey, right, the longer you're going to delay what God has for you. This is why it's important to come to Bible study, because it's through Bible studies where you begin to grow and you begin to mature and you become the person that God wants you to become, right? So let's look at it together. Hebrews chapter 5, and let's look at verse 12. Somebody read verse 12 for me. Back up to verse 11 is pretty powerful. Concerning what? We have what? Much to say, and it's hard to explain since you've become what? Now, let me tell you what stagnates a person's growth when they become dull of hearing. See, you can be in church listening to the word, but because your hearing is dull, amen, it's not transforming you. And so what the Hebrew writer was saying, he says, listen, concerning God, I got a lot to tell you. Amen. Do you know that God has a lot to tell you? Do you know that God has a lot to say to you about your life? Listen, the one that created you knows all about you. And listen, the world can't give you what God wants to give you. But the writer says, I want to tell you more. But see, sometimes it's hard when you're talking to a person who is dull of hearing. Because a person who's dull of hearing already got their minds made up. Come on, say amen. Amen. You just dull. Just can't get it, won't get it, and refuse to get it. Amen. And look what he says next in verse 12. He says, For though by this time you ought to be what? So the natural thing is, after God has taught you his word, after God has transform you through the teaching of his word, he expects you to go to another level. What I'm saying to you tonight is that some of us, we're still in the same place we were when we first got saved. In other words, we haven't moved any further. We're stagnated, we're stuck, amen, and we're at this place where we just want to give up. Do I have anybody? You see, spiritual growth is important to your character because, watch this, it helps you with the spirit of gratitude. It helps you to look back over your life. The more you grow, the more you'll see, like, man, God is good, man. The more you grow, you'll be like, man, God is deep, man. Look at all the stuff he be doing for me. You know what I mean? That only comes from growth. But if you come to church, you're like, yeah, all right, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, what time? It's time to go. See what I'm saying? You know, and I'm like, why would you even come to church if you feel like that? You know what I mean? I'm just saying, man, just stay home, watch TV. Be better for you. You follow what I'm saying? But I'm just, no, I don't really do that. I'm just saying, you know, keep coming because we want you to hear the word. But I'm just saying, but you know, you don't want to become a dull hearer. The moment you start losing interest in what the preacher is saying, you got to check, you got to pinch yourself. You gotta be like, man, come on, man. You need to stop that. Amen. You gotta kind of do something to shake it off. Maybe it's the person that you're sitting next to. You gotta say, you know what? I need to move around because you're not helping my spiritual hearing right now because you're trying to talk about something else and we in church. You ever sit back next to anybody like that? They just want to talk about everything. Let's talk about all kinds of stuff, you know, other than what the preacher is saying. Like, we could have done this at home, y'all. Go ahead. Yes, sir. Oh, you were testifying. Amen. All right, testify, sister. He says, look what he says, though. He says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers. So in other words, God is saying that in your Christian life, watch this, growth is expected. You have to grow. And listen, at one point, at some point, you're going to open up the Bible and you're going to say to somebody, let me show you what you need to be doing. Doesn't mean that you're standing up here and being a formal teacher. Okay, but it means that you can handle the word of God enough to say to somebody else, hey, listen, this is what I think you need to be doing right here. This is what I learned at church. You follow what I'm saying? He said, by this time you ought to be teachers, but you have need again for someone to what? Teach you the what? The elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Now, the Bible uses imagery. Milk is for babies. Solid food is for the mature. And what he was saying is, he's like, hold on, man. He said, by now, you should be eating food, solid food, but now you still need gaga goo goo. You still a baby. You still tripping over little stuff. You follow what I'm saying? Somebody done stepped on my shoes in church. You see how the pastor dressed? He ain't got no tie on. You still tripping over that? Guess what? I got some more surprises for you. You follow what I'm just saying, right? See, that's milk stuff. When we can't get along. When you can't get along with people in your family, in your life. When stuff is not working your way, you've fallen apart. Listen, it means that probably you've become dull of hearing. And when you become dull of hearing, it means that you need somebody to teach you again. In other words, you got to go back to class 101. Amen. Class 101 is the basic Christian class that you come to this church and you take. But listen, if you've been here a long time, and if you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, there comes a point where you ought to start looking at your life and saying, God, I'm grateful. I'm grateful because, watch this, I remember when I came, I was a baby. Right? Look what he says. He says, you have the need again for someone to teach you the oracles of God. Can I tell you something? If you truly apply the word of God to your life, it will change you. It will transform you. Listen, don't just read it, apply it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And watch this. Listen, the more you hear the word of God, the stronger you become, the more grateful you become. You're like, man, I'm grateful that God opened my eyes. Listen, at 25 years old, God opened my eyes to the scriptures. And I'm so grateful to him because, listen, I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew one thing. I knew I was hearing the word of God, and God was changing my character. Listen, you can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have character, it means nothing. You know, and not only that, but listen, as God elevates you, you're not going to get the big head. You're going to be grateful for what he's done for you and what he's given you. You follow what I'm saying? And whatever God has given you, watch this, you'll take care of it. That's stewardship. That comes with spiritual maturity. Amen. Watch the text. The text says now you've come to need milk again and not solid food. Verse 18, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of what? Righteousness, for he is a what? Now, he's a babe. He's a little baby. And like I said earlier, tripping over little stuff. Amen. Gaga goo goo. Can't do this. Can't do that. You know how the baby do, right? Hungry, cry. You know what I mean? Always whining. Come on, somebody. I believe that's the children of Israel. That's all they did was whine and complain. Listen, God showed them and opened up the Red Sea. We've been talking about them, right? He opened up the Red Sea for them, and then here they come. All they're doing is whining and complaining, and I don't have enough. I never have enough. I never will have enough. God is good to you. Come on, somebody. See, but it may be that you become dull of hearing and your maturity has been stagnated. Do I have anybody? Watch what the text says. He says, but solid food is for the mature who because of what? Let me say this to you. Let me give you this. Ezra 7:10. The Bible says in Ezra 7:10 says this. You don't have to go there. I'll tell you, Ezra set his heart to study, to practice, and then teach the word of God in that order. To study, practice, and then teach. You see, what he's saying is that a person who is accustomed to solid food, he practices what he hears. So in other words, you come to Bible study tonight. When you leave here, you're saying, I got a master plan. Pastor said I got to mature, so guess what I'm finna do? There you go. I'm finna practice it tomorrow morning. Matter of fact, tonight when I leave here, amen, I'm finna go and practice some of this stuff. Because if you keep hearing the word and you don't change, something is wrong. You're not applying it. And if you don't apply the word of God to your life, you and I will be the same. And then, watch this, along with spiritual immaturity comes ingratitude. Because that was the story with the children of Israel. They were not maturing spiritually, so they kept on murmuring, complaining, and whining about everything. Come on, can I say something to you tonight? Something good is in your life you can rejoice about. Don't you think so? I mean, I'm just saying, it ain't all that bad, is it? Amen. God is still good, isn't he? Amen. Has he not brought you a mighty long way? Has he not done great things for you? Amen. But here's the thing. If you're only a mature person can understand that, man, that's God. That wasn't the person that did it for me. That was God. That wasn't that person. That was God. You know, and here's the one thing you got to remember. As a growing believer, it takes practice to break bad habits. Come on, somebody. And some of us, you know, we got some bad habits. Amen. We got some things that we need to break. But the only way we're going to break those habits is if we get into the Word of God and say, okay, what does God say about that? And then when we hear the word, we start applying it, and then we start breaking down those barriers, breaking down those doubts, breaking down those disappointments, and watch this. And then on top of that, you have a spirit of like, God, thank you. Listen, the greatest thing that could ever happen to a person is when they understand who they are. Can I ask you something? How many of you got some dreams? Huh? How many of you got some dreams? May I say this to you? You know, it's not when a person dies that's the worst day of their lives. Do you know that? It's when their dreams die. That's the worst day of their lives. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. When your dreams die, you die, but you're just a dead person walking. A dead man walking. And so when it comes down to understanding what your dream is, you have to understand how God has created you. How did God create you? He created you with a temperament. He created you with a certain attitude. Each and every one of us here has different personalities, but God has placed a dream in you. Anybody want to share what your dream is? What's your dream? What's your dream? You want to be a professional baseball player. That's your dream. Don't you give up on that dream. You can do it. You follow what I'm saying? Anybody else? Come on, y'all. Y'all scared to talk about your dream. I don't want to be nothing. Hey, man, you're doing that already. Keep bringing them. My God, that's all right. Want to counsel children, all right? Pastry chef. Amen. Man, we got to hook up with you. You got brought some food in the element here. Okay. All right. All right. Amen. 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 And God will take you to another level. God will take you higher and higher. And listen, and your gift, the Bible says, will bring you before great men. See, what we don't have to do is we don't have to go promoting ourselves. See, because that when you promote yourself, okay, it's for selfish reasons. But when God elevates you, it's for the right reasons. But you got to remember this. God, see, here, you want to know the way up? You got to stay low. So when God blesses you, if you get, you know, some of us get crazy around tax time. You know, don't let the tax-free fund come back big, boy. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. We, We lose our mind. We lose our mind. But we're like, whoo, I'm finna do this. I'm finna do that. But if you were just to stop for a minute and just say, you know what, Lord, here's what I'm finna do. I'm finna just chill. You follow what I'm saying? I'm not gonna think about it. I got it. I'm not gonna think. Listen, stop allowing money to move you. And that's all of our problems here. Hello, somebody. Money moves us. And money changes our moods. Oh, you're not hearing me. Amen. Don't let money change you. Whether you have it or you don't have it, be grateful to the God, amen, who's in your life. Sometimes do you not know that God may not want you to have anything because he wants to see how much you love him? You're not hearing me. What a strange way of teaching us a lesson. You follow what I'm saying? Because guess what? God knows if I bless you, whoo, Lord, we ain't going to see a seat empty. Weeks, months, years, and then all the money's gone. Then you want to come back. Talking about, I want to give God thanks. I want to give God thanks. You've been gone. See, this is what maturity does. Material things doesn't change you. You see what I'm saying? And it doesn't cause you to become ungrateful. Some of us become ungrateful from the moment we get our break. Are you with me? And God knows your heart. But the key to success is to stay low so that when God blesses you, right, you're still the same person. You're still going to show up at church. You're still going to serve God. Nobody knows what's going on with you. But listen, they know you're blessed because you look blessed. See, you may not have a dime in your pocket, but you look blessed because you got happiness. You have joy. You have peace. You know what I mean? You have that peace that the world, listen, you're not troubled. Listen, yeah, I know the walls are closing in on your life, but a mature person, amen, because of practice, watch this, they have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Let me say this. What did I say? That was the Holy Spirit right there. The practice of the Word of God, okay, will cause your senses to be trained to discern good and evil. Let me say this to you. What do you think Adam and Eve was trying to do? What do you think Eve was trying to do? She was trying to discern good from evil. What is everybody trying to do? Learn what's right from wrong, right? Watch this. If you had insight on if you saw, you know, you can see a fool coming from a distance, but some of us can't see a fool coming from a distance because we're immature. We don't know we're about to get got. Oh, I wish I had you. And don't start coming to church. Amen. Satan will send his best agent your way to pull you away from the Lord because he understands if you know more about God, you will become wise. That's what you will have discernment. So you will know discernment means I can make a decision, amen, without second guessing myself. Woo! I can make a decision, right, and know it's right because I know my relationship with God is intact. You follow what I'm saying? And watch this. And my hearing is not dull. And I know that I can go to the Word of God and say, okay, all right, let me see. God says this. This is what I'm going to do. So that's what he says here in verse 14. He says, because their senses are trained to discern good and evil. But look what it says in verse 6. Therefore, leaving the what? Elementary teachings about Christ. Watch this. Let us press on. To what? You have to press on to maturity. We have to stop being babies all the time. I want my way. Babies, I want, me, I. That's what babies do. That's what babies want. They can't talk, so all they can do is cry. Come on, somebody. And when the baby cries, the baby is trying to tell you something, that I need something. But God says that you and I, at some point, we got to grow up. Some point, we got to leave all that stuff aside. Amen. So back to our handout. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, and then I want to talk about something tonight. But that's so critical. Watch this. I want to show you something today. Ephesians chapter 4. My gosh. Go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go eat popcorn. That's how you remember it. All right? Yeah, go eat popcorn. Go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. That's a good way to remember it, right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. Verse 15. Somebody read that for me. Hold on, let me see. 15. My goodness. Matter of fact, let's back up for a minute. Let's back up. Right. Verse 14. Look what it says. As a result. Some of you look like you've been riding a bull. We are no longer to be children tossed here and there. By what? By the next fad. By the next get rich quick scheme. We are not to be tossed. Look what he said. He's like children. Watch this. He says, as a result, we're no longer to be children tossed here and there by the waves and carried about by every wind of what? Doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness in deceitful scheming. Let me say this. Satan wants to destroy you. Amen. And he wants to bring false doctrine into your life, false teaching. He wants you to believe the principles of men and not the Bible. You follow what I'm saying? And so watch this. So what he'll do is he'll send all kinds of trickery your way. We got to be careful. But look at verse 15. He says, but speaking the truth, what? In love. We are to what? We got to grow up. You got to press on, but you got to grow up. 13:11 says what? When I was a child, I used to speak like a child. I used to walk like a child. I used to talk like a child. But when I became what? A man, I did away with what? So listen, when you mature as a believer, that's when gratitude becomes a big part of your life. Because then you can be grateful for the things that you see God doing. Can I ask you something? Can you be trusted? Can you be trusted? Can God trust you with more and you not turn your back on him? Amen. That's something that you have to really look at your own life and say, you know what? I need to check this out about me. Can I be trusted? Watch this. Go to 1 Peter. It says on your handout because it is also a discipline because it fuels our spiritual growth. So the more grateful you are, the more you grow. Think about that for a moment, right? The more God is blessing me and doing things for me, right? The more grateful I am, the more I want to get into his word, the more I get more serious about him. And I realize that, listen, a man can't do nothing for me. That God can't do. I wish I had you. Seriously, when you realize that it's God that's the one that's doing it for you. Amen. Then you will understand that the more I grow, the more I deepen my relationship. Think about it for a moment. The more you put into a relationship, right, you get something back, don't you? If you make an investment in a relationship, it's a two-way street. It's not just one person taking, and that's how God operates. The more, listen, you're not going to waste time when you invest in God. Come on, somebody. This is not wasted time on a Tuesday night. You follow what I'm saying? What you and I are doing is we're investing. We are investing in our personal growth. And the more we grow, hello somebody, the more grateful we become. Amen. Watch this. First Peter chapter 2. I ain't got no acronym for that one. First Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Look at verse 1. What does he say? Therefore, guile, hypocrisy, and envy. You know what he's saying? Man, get all that junk out of you. That's basically what he's saying. He said, listen, you got to get rid of all that stuff. Some of us got this stuff. We're looking at other people and we're envious of them. And you're a child of God. Didn't I say that Sunday? You're a child of God. You have access to God and you're looking at what the world has and you're saying, man, I wish I could have that. Seriously? God created that because he says all things came into being through him. And nothing that you see was created apart from him. So God can give you the desires of your heart if you, you know what, God, sometimes God just be throwing us blessings. He just want to throw you a blessing to see how you act, you know. But sometimes he just want to bless you. Listen, somebody here tonight, I want to tell you something. God wants to bless you. You have to be ready for that blessing by being grateful for the things he's done. Look what he says. He says, listen, you got to get rid of all that stuff because with all that stuff in you, you can't get it. Watch this. See, listen to this. If I have malice, guile, hypocrisy, you know what hypocrisy is? You know what that means? It means to be an actor. It means to put on a mask, to be on the stage. That's what hypocrisy is. In other words, I come to church, I got my church face on. You follow what I'm saying? Here I am, y'all. Yeah, praise the Lord, saint. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? Preach, pastor, you preaching good, boy. Woo, Lord. Then get out in the parking lot. Shoo, man, I'm back. Shoo, I hate my life. Listen, if God's word is that powerful to save you, don't you know it's powerful enough to keep you? But what we got to do, here's what we got to do. You ready for this? We got to be real with God. And we got to be real about who we are. You have to be real about your insecurities and real about your shortcomings and come as you are with your makeup on and all. Amen. But when you get here, take off that spiritual mask, will you? Just take it off. Take it off. This is me. Oh, Lord. like, shoot. Oh, my goodness. I didn't know you looked like that. You know what I mean? You know, I'm serious. Yeah, man, shoot. If we were to take our masks off right now, boy, this place would be in chaos right now. But thanks be to God for the Holy Spirit, boy. What? there's some deep stuff under this mask. Right? So watch this. So I got all of this, right? And then here I am talking about, God, I want you to bless me. Seriously? Now, he'll give you grace. He'll give you enough. But do you think he's going to give you any more? Of course not, because he knows if I give you more, I ain't going to see you again. And guess what? I don't want you to destroy yourself, because you'll take what I give you and you will destroy yourself. In other words, you go out and get you some plastic surgery done. I wish I had somebody on that mask that you have. And all you're doing is readjusting the mask when you have to take the mask off. See, when you have all this stuff in your heart and you're trying to be a child of God, it ain't going to work. Can't work together. Whoop, whoop. No, it ain't going to work. So God says, you got to take it off. Get all that stuff off and watch what he says in verse 12. Like a newborn what? Gaga goo goo. That's my favorite word, baby. Gaga goo goo. Come here, baby. You know what I'm saying? Like a newborn what? Long for the what? Listen, pure milk of the what? That by it you may what? In respect to what? Listen, if you did not, desire the word, not just the benefits from God. Woo. Come to be fed. Listen, how many of you go a day without eating?
Oh, well, I know that. Yeah, y'all starving yourselves. It's all good.
Something wrong with y'all. Man, it's getting hot, man. Throwing stuff at. All right. See, they breaking up the church. See? Watch this. If you keep going, can you go a week without? Well, can you go a month without eating? What about 3 months? You're going to be dead. All right? Or in the hospital somewhere. And think about this for a moment. You get the word one time, and then you miss. Right? And then you get the word another time, and you miss. And spiritually, you don't have a balanced diet. And because you don't have a balanced diet, you are now struggling spiritually. Oh, come on, help me. And so when life hits you and Satan knows, Satan be like, yeah, I know you're hungry. You know what? Speak to the stone and tell it to turn to bread. In other words, Satan will cause you to compromise your spiritual appetite. Come on, somebody. And try to fill it with something material. Oh, I'm going somewhere. And so the longer you stay away from the word, and now definitely you are definitely malnutrition. You have malnutrition. You have all this stuff going on. You're starving spiritually, and eventually you're dead spiritually. But you're like, I'm a Christian. You know what I mean? And you're trying to go to the world, and the world is rejecting you because the world's like, man, I don't know you no more. You know, here's the thing. Here's the difference. When you get saved, you go from being a PC to a Mac. If you take a disc from a Mac computer and try to put it from a PC, try to put it in a Mac, it's incompatible. And when you try to go back to the world, there's no incompatibilities there. So the world is like, man, I don't know you no more. So is that how you're going to treat me? Yeah, that's exactly how I'm going to treat you, because guess what? We have nothing in common anymore. You see, and as a result of that, he says you may grow, but if you're not growing, then what are you doing? You find what I'm saying? You're starving yourself. You're becoming so distant from God, and then ingratitude sets in. I'm going somewhere with this. But watch verse 3. He says, He says, you will desire the pure milk of the word, watch this, and you will grow in respect to your salvation if, and only if. How many of you have tasted it? How many of you have tasted the gratefulness of God, the kindness of God? How many of you? Anybody tasted it? How's it taste? Is it good? How many can say it's good? See, and if you've tasted it, then you should want to grow by it. And you will not, watch this, you will not neglect your spiritual life. The greatest thing that God did for you was to save you. Amen. The greatest thing he did for us was to save us. I want you to read for me the next paragraph there. Just like the other disciplines, this is the one I want to get to right here now. This is going to bless you right here. Watch this. I want to talk about one word tonight along with gratefulness. How do you remain grateful? You got to do what? No. What you gotta do? I just spent like 30 minutes talking about it. Uh-oh. You gotta grow. Come on, y'all. Maybe I didn't make my point clear. Let me make my point clear to you. If you're gonna be grateful and continue to be grateful, you have to what? Grow. You have to mature as a Christian. The next thing you gotta do, you ready for this? Read the sentence for me. Read it for me. Read the paragraph for me. Look what it said. Look what it said. Somebody read it for me. Just like the other, no, on your handout. Uh-huh. Read it real slow. We got to do it what? Consciously. You have to be conscious that I'm being grateful. What else? Constantly do it all the time. What else? Keep reading. Keep going. Ah, that's spiritual growth. See, it stimulates growth. Though, when you start thinking and meditating like, man, God was good to me today. That you didn't just wake up today and just go through the whole day without saying, God, you know what? You've been good to me. That keeps you grateful. Keep going. Gratitude. Go ahead. All right. So does that make sense? That's deep, ain't it? Gratitude, something that we forget all the time, right? So what we got to do is we got to learn, ready for the second thing I want to give you tonight, is we have to learn how to remember. Now, in the Old Testament, 15 chapters are devoted to remembering. Now, that's deep. 15 chapters God has written to tell the children of Israel to remember. Do you think gratitude was a problem? Do you think forgetfulness was a problem? Amen. How easy is it to forget? Very easy, right? How many of you have forgotten before? Like, yeah, he did that for me. Oh, yeah. But watch this. So 15 chapters. Let's look at some of these. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 1. My goodness. So the next thing we have to do is what? Remember. We have to grow spiritually, but we have to what? Remember. All right? And some of us, we forget real easy. Now listen, from time you get that breakthrough, I'm about to say something. From the time you get that breakthrough, there it is. All right. Deuteronomy 1, let me just tell you what happens in Deuteronomy chapter 1. It had been 38 years from Numbers to Deuteronomy, the period of time. And God, from Mount Sinai, to the border and then to the promised land. 38 years. They should have gotten the blessings, but they didn't. You know why? They were ungrateful. Listen, can I tell you something? If you don't remember, this is something I want to really instill in you tonight. You got to remember, saints. Watch this. Deuteronomy chapter 1. I'm sorry. Yeah, Deuteronomy chapter 1. And let's look at verse 1. Somebody read that for me. Yeah. Spur. Uphill. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All these big words here. 11-day journey, where you at? 11-day journey from Haran, Hareb, to the way of Mount Sire of Kadesh Barnea. And it came about in the 14th year on the first day of the 11th month. You know one thing about God? He's very particular about time. All right? That's why we celebrate certain times. God's very particular when he does stuff. All right? So that 11th month was real important to God. All right? That Moses did what? Spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had commanded him to give them. And after he had defeated Sihon, the king of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, and lived in the Ashtaroth of Edrei, across the Jordan in the land of Moab, Moses undertook to expound this law, saying what? The Lord our God, watch this, spoke to us in Horeb, saying, you have what? At this what? See, they had been at that mountain, Mount Sinai. And God had said to them, see, God decides when we move. I'm going somewhere now. God decides what your next journey will be like. God decides that. I know you have a plan, but God has a greater plan. And see, what had happened was they had become so accustomed at being at the foot of the mountain, amen, because they had become very comfortable. I'm talking to somebody tonight. You've become real comfortable at the foot of the mountain. But God said to them, it's time to move. I'm going somewhere. You got to understand that with God, everything is about timing. Everything is about his will and his purpose and his plan for you, right? And sometimes we can be hanging around the mountain for so long that God has to step in supernaturally to say, hello, ding dong, it's time to move. Yeah. And that's real, because I'm guilty of that. I get comfortable where I am at times. Listen, and I don't want to move because I like things just the way they are. Anybody here? Anybody there? Just the way it is. But God has a way of saying, listen, it's time to go on. But watch this. He says, turn and set your journey and go to the hill country of the Amorites and to all the neighbors of Abram, to the hill country of the lowland and in the Negev, and by the sea coast of the land of the Canaanites and Lebanon, as far as the great rivers, the river Euphrates. See, I...